Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio, Acorn Community Enterprises, or the underwriters of this station. Welcome. This is Shasta County Elections Candidate Interviews. This program is a presentation of KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz, and we're having conversation with those candidates that are running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Today I have with me Suzanne Bearmore. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lynn.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So you're running for which district?
I am running for District 2, which includes most of South Reading and some of West Reading, and then west out to Igo and a little northwest into Old Shasta and French Gulch area.
Yes. And I'm hoping people that are even not in your district will listen to the broadcast, because I think it's good to know who's working, you know, and serving the community and interested in serving the community. So one of the things I like to do is when we begin a program is to have people get to know you at a little deeper level. So where did you grow up?
I grew up mostly in Shingletown. My parents moved us here when I was about 8 years old, all the way back in the 70s. And I grew up in Shingletown. I attended Black Butte School. I attended high school in Reading. And I have lived other places off and on, but primarily Reading has been home. I raised my children here. I have considered Shasta County as home pretty much my whole life.
How many kids do you have?
I have two. I have two grown children who are in their 30s and three granddaughters.
So your children's first names?
Jesse and Katie.
Jesse and Katie. So do they live here in this area?
They do not. My daughter lives in Southern California and my son lives in Idaho.
Ah, beautiful areas, both of those. They each have their things that are good. So what brought you to Reading, California? You know, did you go away for school?
I've lived quite a few places. Most recently, I left Reading in 2019. I'd owned a wellness studio over above Kobe, across the street here, and then I left the area hoping to just spend some time in other regions, and I moved down to southern Mendocino County to Hopland, which is another very small town similar mm-hmm. to Shingletown, which is part of what I loved about it. And I was managing a chain of bowling and fun centers in the Sonoma and Petaluma, Marin County areas. And I did that through COVID. And then, as it turns out, contrary to what the presidents of all the bowling leagues will tell you, bowling was not considered an essential activity by most health departments.
That's
whatnot.
Rude.
I know, right? So, at the beginning of COVID, of course, we're all thinking it's just going to be 2 weeks and we'll be back on track with the universe. And of course, that didn't pan out. So, I started realizing I was working for a small family business that owned this chain, and realized if there's something else I can find that I can do, it will probably be one less thing, one less burden for the family that owns this small company. So I wound up going to Humboldt County. I was working in Arcata for a small environmental restoration firm that basically has a generation-long legacy of improving watersheds along the Klamath and Trinity and other rivers in about a three-state area. Mm-hmm. And so I was managing the office for that organization. And
was that a tribal organization?
It was not, but they work with the tribes.
Yeah.
They work a lot with the Hoopa and the Karuk and
probably some Yurok. Yeah.
Yep, indeed. And then towards the end of 2021, I had a friend of mine who works for the California School Boards Association message me one day and say, "We are just about to hire our last field rep for Northern California. We've never had one in Northern California, and I can't think of anyone who would do a better job, and I hope you'll apply." And so I did. So for the last 2 years, I've been working as a field rep for the California School Boards Association, and I cover the 14 counties from just above Sacramento, so Nevada, Yuba, Sutter counties, all the northeastern counties up all the way to the Oregon border. So
What's the mission of your work? What are you up to when you're working for them?
The mission of CSBA, we're like a trade association for school boards.
Ah.
And so our role is to serve county trustees and county offices of education. We do advocacy work with the legislature. We do trainings for school board members. We have an annual education conference. We have affiliate programs to help school districts find cost-effective ways to provide services that they may need within their school districts. And pretty much one of the biggest things we do is try and get more people involved in the legislative process in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
While school districts runs this wherever they are locally, funding for most of all of the school districts comes from the state government.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that in Northern California, we have sort of an attenuated relationship with the state of California, because rural California doesn't always get acknowledged the way it ought.
Yes.
In terms of how it's funded, how we deal with water or environmental issues or school issues.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'm constantly explaining to people in Sacramento is that it is just as important for the people in Los Angeles that kids in Siskiyou, Shasta, Lassen, Plumas counties are getting educated as it is that the kids at LA Unified are, because the kids in our areas are primarily going to be the folks who wind up taking care of our watersheds and helping keep the fires down. And if we don't have schools, healthy, thriving schools in these very small rural communities, no one's going to move there to do the work.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, complete sense. Your educational background?
I have some college. That's it. And lots of...
Shasta College or elsewhere?
Shasta College, Feather River. And I did some classes at Lassen College as well. And started my work at National University, but I haven't finished yet because
yes.
Life has just been life.
Yes. I think it's good. I enjoy learning. So I'm one of those long-term students.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's beneficial, but sometimes, you know, life crowds it out too.
Well, yeah, I had one of the benefits I had growing up in Shingletown is that Charlie Menor was our superintendent principal for most of the time that I attended that school. And one of the things that Charlie and his wife Judy both have done is really built a legacy to instill lifelong learning in everybody they've touched.
Yeah. So, yeah. I know that Charlie's had a significant role in my life because when he was the superintendent, I was the executive director at Reading Community Access, the channels. And so I worked with him to put the educational access under the same umbrella as public access and government access, and really helped develop the channel so that they'd become more visible. And he's such a professional and community-minded, and certainly has a vision for education and our youth.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So the other thing, anything else in your work background that you haven't mentioned?
I've had a very diverse work background. When I was in my 20s, back in the 90s, it's hard to believe it was that long ago, I was a young parent married to a logger, and we were living in Susanville, California. And life was fine. My husband at the time was working on logging jobs, primarily the dead and dying timber and the places that had burned in the national forests.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, we should have been able to stay in that line of work for a lifetime. There is so much dead and down, dying, diseased timber out there that could be going to mills or being used for other resources.
And needs to be.
And eliminating the fire danger
yeah.
in the forests. And then, of course, the California spotted owl came around. And so I spent most of the 90s working in community forestry and really trying to sort of just dog the Forest Service to get back on track and do the things in the forests in a very balanced way so that we could take care of the watersheds and be concerned about riparian areas and at the same time be building those defensible fuel profile zones so that we could be fire safe.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on a group called the Quincy Library Group back in the 90s, which was a community consensus group. It was called the Library Group because that's where the meetings started. It was the one neutral place where the timber industry and the local environmentalists and other people in the community felt safe getting together without being on somebody suspicious's turf.
Yes.
And I learned a lot in that process that has carried me through like the rest of my governance work. When I moved back to Reading after doing that work, I went to work for Shasta County. I was a single parent at that time, and I just needed a job where I could be home every night with my children and take care of my family. And so I took an entry-level job in the probation department, and from there I worked in the county council's office and in the support services office, which at the time included risk management and personnel and fleet management and purchasing for the whole county. That work is now actually sheltered within the CEO's office.
Mm-hmm.
It has changed over time. And then I worked at the public health department for four years, I think, almost 4 years, and managed contracts for the public health department. And what had so inspired me about that job is back in the 2000s when I went to work there, is there were a lot of really great innovative programs going on in the public health department. And this was before it became part of the Health and Human Services Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And as I learned from other people around the state, our public health department was and is one of the most innovative mm-hmm. in the state in terms of finding resources, finding grant funds, finding ways to collaborate with community organizations. So I had a real opportunity at that point to really become engrafted in what's going on in Shasta County. There's pretty much not a nonprofit organization that I haven't worked on or contracted with or done something with over mm-hmm. the years. And that really built into me a real understanding of the kind of relationships we need to get back to in terms of how we govern. We need to get everyone at the table that's willing to work on solutions, that's willing to leave the partisanship behind, that's willing to leave their conspiracy theories at the door, and honestly, even leave their dislike of one another at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really important too.
I do too. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because you know, you've worked in private, you've worked in education, you've worked in environmental, you've worked in government, pretty diverse background.
Yeah, I've run a nonprofit before. I did that in the very early 90s when I was working with the Quincy Library Group.
So
I understand like the opportunities and the functions and the roles that everybody can have and all the strengths that can be brought to the table in order to really get us the kind of solutions we want locally.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all want local control. We would rather have Kathy, at least I know I would. I would rather have Kathy Darling Ellen running our local elections instead of having people from the Secretary of State and the FBI in town when we're having elections.
Especially when you have such an expert like Kathy.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah, she's very remarkable. So in your journey in this lifetime, have you served on state or local commission boards, maybe associations? You've mentioned some things. Is there anything you haven't mentioned?
Sure. I, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I served on an ad hoc committee at the State Resources Agency that was dedicated to really looking at the fire and fuels issues. I don't know if you recall back then, there was a timeline with all of the biomass plants we used to have in the state. We used to have a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And part of why that they were able to be built and functional was because the state, the PUC, had basically subsidized them for a very long time. And then that subsidy ran out. And that's why a lot of those plants have closed down. And we know the Berkeley, the University of Berkeley, has done a study that indicates that if we had the the facilities for it. We have enough biomass out in our forests and our in our wild urban wildland interfaces to power the entire state of California for over 100 years.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
So when you're using that term biomass, maybe there's someone out there who doesn't understand what that means. How would you explain that?
It has a fairly broad definition, mm-hmm. To my way of thinking. It's any woody fibrous material that will burn, you know, that will burn safely, and that is just too small to go to the mill.
Yeah. You can't make lumber out of it because Correct. Of the condition of it. And so it would be wonderful to be able to have the resource like they had in the past of being able to gather that and process it to create what's created from the biomass.
Electric energy.
Yeah. So it's really a brilliant idea. I think it's unfortunate because we really recognize today that we need forest management with our wildfires.
We do. And that's a real top priority for me, too. It's not an if we're going to burn again. It's when.
Yes.
So
the better. I always liken it when I'm talking to people like a garden. When you plant a garden, you have to take out some of the weeds. And sometimes some of the plants mature. They give away, you know, the fruit of their labors or the vegetables of their labors. And then it's time to harvest. And then you go back through and till them under or pull them out. So it's the same with forests. It's just like a garden. There's a lifespan, and you want to be able to tend that garden.
Definitely. Well, and we also know from historical data that the indigenous tribes used to burn before they would head out for the winter or summer, depending on where they were coming or going from.
Yes.
And that they would do underburns. They would do the kind of controlled burns that it would be great if we could get back to, but until we really thin some of these forests out, we can't.
Yeah, it becomes dangerous to try it sometimes.
Totally.
Yes. If you've just tuned in, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections Candidate Interviews. We're in conversation here with Suzanne Bearmore. She is running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors in District 2. This program is presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. One of the things, Suzanne, I like to do, too, is during the interview, our guests talk about their political affiliation and why they chose that.
Well, I've actually belonged to both major parties at one point or another. I was very much an active young Republican in the 1990s. And then I have supported what I consider good, well-informed candidates on both sides of the aisle since then. I registered Democrat for a while so that I could work on Barack Obama's campaign. Mm-hmm. And then when I was readying myself to move back over here to Redding to take this job with the California School Boards Association, because we've seen in the last handful of years just how partisan, how divided our communities have become, I made a very conscious decision as a field rep who is here to serve everyone who gets elected to a school board within my entire district. I have 155 LEAs that I work with.
LEAs are?
They're local education agencies, so like a county office of education or a school district, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And so I made the very conscious decision to just register as no political party. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's known me local for any amount of time knows that I've backed a diversity of candidates. I've backed Barack Obama. I've backed Megan and Brian Daly. I really am interested in electing representatives and officials who are committed, especially at the local level, that are committed to fixing the things in our community. Let's put community over party.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's okay to have a difference of perspective or philosophy, to belong to whatever party it is. But the goal, I would think, is no matter what our affiliation, is to figure out a way to work together to solve the problems we have.
Well, and that's been a lifelong passion of mine. When I was speaking earlier about the work I did with the Quincy Library Group, I was managing a nonprofit organization, and the president of that board of directors came to me and told me, "Suzanne, I need you to figure out how to be friends with this woman named Linda." And I just rolled my eyes because here I was, a logger's wife, very active Republican. She was a very active Democrat. She was a nationally recognized environmentalist. She had actually filed timber sale appeals on logging jobs on the national forest that impacted my income.
Yeah.
And so I spent a year and a half, and we had to work hard, and not just because I found Linda difficult, but because Linda found a cocky 20-something to be rather difficult as well. And here we are all these years later. She actually was one of my references for my job when I applied to work at CSBA.
So, that's really cool, isn't it?
We've maintained that. In fact, we had a very heartbreaking thing happen to us a few years ago when the Dixie Fire was occurring. She had gotten evacuated not once but twice. She got evacuated from the Dixie Fire, and then the place she had gone on the El Dorado Forest got evacuated. And so she came over to the coast, and she and her husband stayed with me for a few days because they were then on their way to Bandon, Oregon for a vacation that they already had planned. And we sat one night in my apartment, and on my laptop, we literally watched the town of Greenville burn.
Wow.
And what was so hard for us is that we had spent a decade trying to get the Plumas National Forest to build the kind of defensible fuel profile zones that would have saved that community.
Wow.
So that was tough.
Yeah, hard to watch that happen.
It was.
Yeah. You know, your relationship came full circle where you could really have a longevity to it, not just when you work together, but beyond.
Well, that's it. You know, it's interesting to me. I had, up until last week or whenever the League of Women Voters Forum was, I had never had a direct conversation with Wynne Carpenter. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know who each other are and, you know, apparently don't care for each other because of it. And the day that we had that forum, I met a woman who knew him. And she told me the funnest fact about him. He is, you know, for everything he is or isn't and whatever he's done in his life, apparently he makes some world-class sourdough bread.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, yeah. So, I mean, Wynne, if you're listening, I would like some sourdough starter.
Yes, really, really.
You know, I think that's how we build better community. You know, we link arms and we value everyone. And that's, you know, that's how we solve the problems and find the solutions.
Yes, I agree. Finding ways that we can relate to each other, some commonalities. We'll always have differences. I always say our differences is the way we learn from each other.
Yes.
So I think that's true. So let me ask you this. What approach do you have in working, you know, you talked about Linda. When you're working with differences of perspective, or especially the challenge here in Shasta County, working with conflict and bridging differences and bridging division. Sometimes you go or you view a Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting and there's yelling and tension and accusations. And I mean, it's really, really intense. Any thoughts about how you would work in trying to create a different atmosphere there?
To my way of thinking, there's a lot contributing to the division here. We have a board right now that is very destabilized in its governance. And part of that comes from, I believe, a lack of listening. And there needs to be more listening from that dais. If I am elected, I will be the person reaching out to department heads, to the attorneys, to other counties, to legislators and regulators to try and understand why we're facing a problem we're facing. So yeah. Let's say, for example, why why are there so many processes in the planning department? Well, we know that most of those are state driven. So I want a much better understanding of the how and the why. I think Matt Plummer, who is running for supervisor in District 4, has done a really interesting job of going in and finding out, comparing the production of permits through our building department versus other counties. Mm. And that's a super great place to start to figure out why can other places do it faster.
Uh-huh.
And what's holding us up.
Yes.
So I think, you know, figuring out that kind of data is really important. One of the things I do is one of the things I didn't mention earlier is that I currently sit on the Shasta County Elections Commission. I'm a commissioner for that. And what I've seen from that dais is we have a lot of people who feel very disenfranchised. I think in some cases it's perceived, some cases perhaps it's legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I've come to do is I always bring my business cards with me. And if people are telling me that they don't feel like they're heard or they don't feel like that they've had their say, I hand them my business card. And sometimes people contact me and sometimes they don't, because I think some of what we see in these meetings has become so performative. It's mm-hmm. more like performative outrage than really trying to get to the heart of solving problems or understanding the problems, even much less find the solutions.
Yeah.
So I think listening is a huge component to this. Understanding how governance works is really key to having a good grasp on how to drive us into our future successfully.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, one of the things that I would bring to this role as a county supervisor is that when I worked in county government, I worked in the county council's office and in the personnel office. So I have some real deep, unique understanding of how every single department works, what legislation drives how they do their job, what regulations they have to follow, how their funding sources arrive to us, how they're supposed to be spent, how they have to be managed. And, you know, do some of those things need to be fixed? Oh, heck yes. But we need to do that in an informed, effective, efficient way.
Yes. And one that brings health and good things instead of just tension and conflict and conspiracy theories.
Yes.
You know, when you think of the challenges, we talked a little bit about the division and all that. Are there things that stand out to you that are facing Shasta County that kind of draw your attention, that you think are issues as if you're elected to the Board of Supervisors that we feel the need? I mean, you probably have some that are just a personal perspective, whether you're not a member of the Board of Supervisors.
I am at this very moment in time extremely concerned about the health, welfare, stability of our elections office right now. We are in a place of transition. We have a beloved, dedicated, effective, nationally recognized Registrar of Voters who has been hunted like a wounded animal for the last month. And we have a lot of conspiracy theorists who say all manner of fantastic things about how they think that our elections are not fair. But we also have a Registrar of Voters office who the rest of the state has noticed. They have been through a move. They lost their machines last year. They started building a hand counting process. They retired that process when the state said it's now illegal. They got a new machine system in. They had to learn it, be able to train it, be able to use it. And now here we are at a primary. And now we have people in the community suggesting that they would like our County Board of Supervisors to appoint one of two rather unqualified people to continue leading that office. And that is very alarming to me because elections are the heart of our
democracy,
you know, our forms of democracy. And I know there's people in town screaming at us right this minute as they're listening, But, you know, whether you consider us a constitutional republic or a democratic republic, they're all forms of democracy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, however you want to, you know, kind of slice those hairs, the fact of the matter is that our elections office is about to buckle under its own inertia if we don't support it from a governance perspective. And our current board of supervisors, the majority of it at least, is not doing that.
So
that's a huge issue to me. Fire and water are huge issues to me. I really would like us to be able to have a better collective understanding, both within county government and the communities. Take IGO, for example. The IGO Grange was not made whole in terms of rebuilding that Grange. They didn't get what they needed out of their insurance processes. And so I would like for all of us, public servants and community leaders and everyone, let's figure out what that process is. How do we make ourselves whole after these fires? Let's talk to the people who survived Paradise. Let's talk to the people who survived in Sonoma County through the Tubbs Fire and, you know, figure out their lessons learned so that as soon as the alarm bells start ringing for us that the fire's coming, we can have teams of people educated in this community to already start the process to be helping people through the back end.
Yes. Engage.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you think about the issues around the unsheltered homeless and mental health, jail? Do you think those are critical issues as well?
I do. And I do not believe there is a panacea to any of it. I think we need people standing on all four corners of the carpet, if you will, and figuring out how to lift it up.
Yes. Working together.
Yes, we need, obviously, we need some legislative reform. We know that AB 109 and Prop 47 have failed us. We also know that we do need more jail space. I think one of the biggest things that's missing in our mental health services, and this is not just locally, 40 years ago, Ronald Reagan, right or wrong, pulled all our mental health institutions. And, and in some cases, for good reason. There were some very inhumane things occurring.
Yes.
But what we need to do now is find best practices, better practices. And there are people in our community who do need the benefit of some institutional care, and we simply do not have the capacity for that.
Yes.
So I, when I was living across the street here, the alleyway between the two parks, I used to call it the transient trail of tears.
Yeah.
You know, I met a lot of people that I just realized there's no amount of shelter for them that's ever going to be appropriate other than something that really has a high level of supervision and those kinds of issues. And we've got to figure out a way to get back to that in some meaningful way.
Versus living on the street.
Yeah. You know, and then the other thing is that we know because of health outcomes that people in our part of Northern California are very traumatized. We have high ACEs scores. We have low developmental assets. And so we are always going to need help in terms of trying to figure out how to heal ourselves from that trauma. And that includes a whole host of things, living wage jobs, access to health care, access to good role models, access to education. All those things will help. There is no one answer to how we keep our streets crime free and our people healthy in a mental health realm. So,
you know, many people don't realize that ACEs score, the adverse childhood experiences scores in Shasta County, are higher than the state and higher than the nation when you talk about trauma. So that reflects that adverse childhood experiences reflects the trauma people have undergone in their childhood. And that tells us that there needs to be intervention.
One of the things that I talk about when I do my job with CSBA is when I go to give presentations to school districts and talk to new trustees, I attended an elementary school in the late 70s and early 80s. My eighth grade class, there were 40 of us. Over half of us wound up in some kind of foster or kinship care. Wow. 80% of us lived in poverty. Many of us grew up without even running water and electricity. And that sounds like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that was happening in the 80s. Well, guess what? That's happening in 2024.
Yes, it's not just back then.
Yeah, we've seen on a news cafe recently that out in Oak Run, there are people living without electricity. The school district is taking water out to students' homes in the summer. And that is not the only small town that it's happening in Northern California.
Yeah, I think it's important that we come together and help resolve those issues and problems. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections Candidate Interviews. I'm here in conversation with Suzanne Bearmore. She is running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors for District 2. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This is a presentation of KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. And our intention with this program is to help people get to know the candidates, that they get to hear from them directly about what their backgrounds, what their thoughts are about the issues here, some ideas about how to create better collaborative work in our county. You know, there's been lots of conversations in the nation, Suzanne, about voter fraud. Do you think voter fraud has happened here in Shasta County as a nation that, there was accusations of voter fraud that have been said to were not proven. There's been no voter fraud. Is that a concern you have for Shasta County?
I believe that our elections here in Shasta County are fair, free, and accurate. I have spent a good portion of the last two or more years spending time in our elections department, learning how that process works. One of the things that I find so fascinating about the whole work of the elections department is just how many cross checks there are.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree that machine counting by itself would not be 100% accurate any more than we already know that hand counting is not 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But when you marry the two,
better system.
You have a much better system. And what I also know about working with 14 counties and having met most of their registrars and elections folks and people at the state is that elections people, they're kind of their own animal.
Yeah.
They are the vanguards that are there dedicated to holding up a fair process for all of us.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, there are people in the community who just refuse to accept that.
Yeah. You know, I have been very inspired by witnessing the work of Kathy Darlene Allen, our Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, because I've worked with her through the years, talking to her about the voting process, interviewing her for programs. And I've really valued her openness, inviting people to come down to witness it, to ask questions, to inform themselves. And the precision in which they work, where they take every single ballot and looking at the signature to make sure it matches the signature on file. And if it doesn't, then they contact the person and make inquiry about, hey, I know I've had people say to me, you know, the post office, if people throw their ballots in the trash, then someone can take them out and then vote with them. Not when you're matching signatures.
Not when you're matching signatures.
Yeah.
It's very alarming to me. There is someone else running for county supervisor this election cycle who believes wholeheartedly in a pattern of fraud. And I've actually been able to disprove that pattern of fraud. It does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, it's been disproven elsewhere as well.
Yes.
And it definitely does not exist here in Shasta County.
Yeah. And what I've really also appreciated about Kathy Darlene Allen is her integrity, her passion to be sure the vote is by the people. It's
yes.
been her personal, professional commitment. And she's recognized, like you say, throughout the state, throughout the nation for her work.
I remember, it's been a lot of years ago because my daughter was still in high school. She was participating in a leadership program at UPREP. And one of their field days was to go to the elections office. And Kathy Darling Allen was explaining to all these students and to all the chaperones that were there that at that point, every single year, the state tweaks something in the elections process. So every single year, our elections workers are basically learning their jobs again.
Yeah.
And they're committed to doing it, and they're committed to doing it right and to doing it well and fairly and transparently.
Yeah. And to really have it so that the will of the people is upheld. It's not about what they want. It's about the will of the people through voting. Do you also think having a good relationship with the state government is valuable? Because there's lots of, you hear people saying, well, we need to become our own entity. We need, Shasta County needs to be more independent. Do not be governed by the state. How do you kind of wrap your mind around
that well, sort of thing? You know,
because there's one major issue that happens.
back in the 90s, when I was young and in my 20s, I was a proponent for a while of the state of Jefferson. I thought, you know, that would be one way that we don't have to live by, you know, LA's rules or San Francisco's games, right? But as I've learned more about governance over time, the reality is that Northern California is a recipient area. We are a recipient region. Almost every county around us, including ourselves, receives more money from the state and federal government than we pay out. So if we were to carve much of us out of the state, you know, whether you look at 12 northern counties or a bunch of Central Valley counties as well, we do not have the resources to keep our freeways up, to manage our water. You know, one thing I do think needs to happen is that we do need to figure out how to be given more local control, more sovereignty, if you will, in some ways, for taking care of the water here. I feel like all we do is get rated, and we aren't being given tools or resources, nor are we being given credit for taking care of riparian areas and water flows. And, you know, there should be a better partnership between Northern California and Southern California over that. That is one way that we could maybe start figuring out, you know, some more autonomy. Also, the reality is that so many of the Northern California counties are significantly federally owned. There's no property tax there. How are we going to deal with that?
So how do you explain how that complicates things?
Well, so I deal with this in my role at CSBA.
The California School Board Association.
Yes. So school districts, especially very small ones, feel entirely disenfranchised from the state. And it's understandable why they feel that way. And that's one of the reasons that we work with districts to build advocacy. In Shasta County, three of my mentors when I was in back in the 1990s were Francie Sullivan, Trish Clark, and Molly Wilson, and three very distinctively different politically leaning people who did not always agree with each other, but they got a lot of work done. And one of the things that they were able to do is they spent a lot of time in Sacramento because they knew that's where the keys were, and that's where the answers are going to be derived to fixing some things in Northern California.
Because you not only have state, but you also have federal. Sometimes we hear people talk about we don't want state influence. But
it's already here.
It's already here. And we receive lots of funding from them. And I think enhancing the relationship, having that voice in that arena is very critical versus, you know, saying, I'm not going to do it.
Well, and that's another thing that I really would bring to this role as supervisor is that I have 30 years of relationships in Sacramento. I work for an organization right now where I have access to every single legislative office in Sacramento if I need it. So those are relationships that are already pre-established for me. I have relationships with almost every department head in this county. So,
and sometimes I don't think people understand what that means, because if you are problem solving, if you have an idea of something new, innovative you want to do, what's the role of relationship? How does that benefit you?
Well, here's a good example. So last year and the year before, Assemblymember Dolly had been working on this idea of a frontier school initiative, where she wanted to basically give definition to school districts of 600 or fewer students as a tool to finding ways to directly serve them, as a tool to carving them out of more onerous legislation. And I was able to help her office because I basically went through with all the data I have from the California School Boards Association and found all the qualifying school districts.
Wow.
And then went to all of my peers, who we then went to all of the Democrats that she was having a bit of a hard time getting into. And so we built relationship and we built communication. We built good listening skills. And in that, you know, Megan Dolly was able to be successful in putting that legislation forward. And that's a huge benefit to these very small school districts in Northern California and elsewhere.
Yeah, which we have a lot of. That's what people sometimes forget. It's about, you know, it's not just us here in the center of the county.
That's correct.
Yeah, yes. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections Candidate Interviews. We're here in conversation with Suzanne Barrymore. She is running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors in District 2. This is a presentation of KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio to educate and inform our community about the candidates running for office. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and a volunteer here at KKRN. So we're coming quickly down to the end of the program. One of the things I want to mention is to have you share if someone, you know, oftentimes what people don't realize is that they, when you're a board of supervisors, people can email, they can call the board of supervisors, they can go into the meetings, they can review the meetings through video. I mean, it's a lot of openness. And I always encourage people to share their perspective, to give their voice, give their input, participate in the process, not only through voting, because that's a keen way we participate, but also to be able to have a continuous active. So how do people, as a candidate right now that you're running, how do people get in touch with you if they have questions of you or they want information about you?
There's several ways that they can do that. I have a website, suzanneforsupervisor.org. That's SUSANNEFOR. SUPERVISOR.org. I'm also available at Suzanne for Supervisor on Facebook. My personal phone number is 530-407-4307. Feel free to get in touch with me any way you'd like.
Yeah. Just before we leave the program, I'm going to have you share that information again in case people want to jot it down and they missed all of it. So we've talked about the reason that, you know, it's good to be collaborative versus adversarial. If you're elected, do the decisions you make as a board of supervisor, who are you influenced by? Are you your own person, or do you feel like there's an organizations that maybe pressure you to think of things in a certain way?
Well, the way I like to couch this is that I am a collaborator. I am an innately curious person. I want to understand issues. I want to understand perspectives. So there are a lot of places that I will be going to look for information. When the agendas come out, if something comes out of the Health and Human Services Agency that I have questions about, I'm going to go ask the questions. If it's something that's labor related, I will talk to the labor unions to make sure I understand their perspective and figure out where things are at odds with the county. I will talk to the auditor. I will talk to the tax collector to just understand how the revenues are coming in and what options we actually have. I am very concerned about decisions being made in a way where we don't wind up with grossly negative unintended consequences, similar to the complete removal of developer fees is going to impact the sheriff's office. Let me also be very clear here. I do believe that the idea that those developer fees should have been reduced, I believe it's warranted because the data it was based on has not come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that zero is the right number either.
Yeah. So sometimes the extremes, but having more of a middle approach is a better strategy, isn't it?
Well, yes. And because they're in local governance, and especially because, for better or worse, we're in California and we have a legislature that is a very regulating one. Mm-hmm. And so for better or worse, there's never a simple answer to any of these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some of these oversimplified solutions that we've seen lately is... it's going to impact our community, and there's a lot of work to undo. Mm-hmm. So
let's imagine for a moment that there's something that comes up. If you're elected as the Board of Supervisor for District 2, something comes up that's being considered that perhaps you have a personal interest in, a financial personal interest, that may be called a conflict of interest. What would you do with that?
Well, I would, of course, definitively determine whether that even the perception of a yeah. conflict of interest actually met the threshold for the FPPC or, you know, any other piece of the, you know, the legislative process there is that's required. And if it was determined that I had a financial conflict of interest, I would definitely recuse myself. If there was a perceived conflict of interest, I would at a minimum disclose that to the public. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and probably talk to some people about, you know, is the fact that I worked for this person 20 years ago actually still a problem, for mm-hmm. example? And if not, fine. And if so, then okay, you know, conflicts are conflicts.
Mm-hmm. What do you suppose, if you were to think about it, why is that important for a person as a elected representative? Why is it important for them at times to recuse themselves or abstain or announce a conflict of interest?
We vote for people. We are putting our trust in a board to actually serve the people's interests. And I think part of what we've seen in the last couple of years is an enormous amount of self-dealing, an enormous amount of very opaque governance, not a lot of transparency. And, you know, Patrick Jones talks a lot about building trust with the elections or whatever else he has on his agenda. And this is how you do it, is that you are open and you are upfront about things like conflicts or the perceptions or...
Perception is everything, really.
Yeah. You know, I had somebody ask me a question yesterday about my relationship with a department head, and because they thought it was like a personal relationship. And it turns out we worked together 15 years ago. Mm. That's how we started to have a relationship with each other. And once that person understood that, it completely changed their perspective. So
yes, yes. And isn't it good to be able to address questions and be able to talk it through with someone?
100%.
Instead of just shutting it down.
Mm-hmm.
So what drew you to become a candidate?
Well, I've always been curious about county governance. When I was doing forestry work in the 90s, I realized how important county governance, us solving yeah. our own problems, actually is for us. All the way back into junior high school, I don't know if you know this, but Pete Peters recently passed away.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, he just passed away over the weekend. I found this out on Monday on a different radio show.
Wow.
When he first ran for county supervisor, his one of his daughters was in my class. And so we actually did, you know, whatever we could at 12 and 13 years old to help campaign for him. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of got in my blood from there. I worked on Steve Swendeman's congressional campaign because his wife was my high school counselor. And so it, you know, the kind of love for that just kind of grew. I've worked on somebody's campaign every election cycle since.
Yeah. It's important to community development.
It is. Yeah. I think part of my zeal for this is that I have such a unique understanding of how processes work and who could or should be involved in like being at the table and getting problems solved and coming up with pilot projects and let's create and let's innovate and let's have better relationship with the state so that we become the go-to for smaller counties for how do we get things done.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, we're just about out of time, so I'm going to ask you again, how does someone get in contact with you?
They can contact me at my website, suzanneforsupervisor.org, which is SUSANNEFORSUPERVISOR.org. And also at Suzanne for Supervisor on Facebook. My phone number is also 530-407-4307. Feel free to call or text.
Yes. I want to thank you for coming in, sharing your story, your perspective, your experience, allowing the people to see more about you in depth, because I think that's being open and vulnerable, and I think it's what we need to be able to kind of expect from our candidates and our elected officials, because it is a public life.
I think it's one of the things we've lost in all of this partisanship and this division in our community is really remembering that we're all friends and neighbors. We're all human beings. You know, I'm a mom, I'm a sister, I'm a grandmother. You know, I'm a friend, I'm a coworker, just the same as everybody else in the community. So
yeah, better to put our heads together and come up with strategies to solve problems and work collaboratively.
Agreed.
Yes. Thank you, Suzanne Barrymore, District 2, Shasta County Board of Supervisors candidate. This is a presentation by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio to educate, inform our community about the candidates running for office. This program is Shasta County Elections Candidate Interviews. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. We thank you for tuning in, and we want to encourage you to please get out there and vote.
Government is run by those who show up.
Yes, you want to show up. Thank you for listening.